I want to read just a little bit from the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. I'd like for you to bear with me just for a little bit and let us exalt you tonight. I don't feel a great enthusiasm among you as I do sometimes. This morning I felt an enthusiasm that I don't feel tonight. But at the same time, we might say something that might help you if you'll really give your attention to the Word. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even out of the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, I want to read just a little bit more here to liken it to our day. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such hours you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now in the following of that, you notice that the Lord immediately, in following up the teachings there of the tribulation period, he immediately brings in a teaching concerning the 10 virgins. All right? Now, I want to discuss a few things with you tonight and see if the Lord will give us a few thoughts. Now in this we see that there is going to be a terrible time right at the coming of the Lord. This morning I brought out some of the things concerning the earthquakes. We know that down in Guatemala they've had the terrible earthquakes and over 1 million people homeless. And then there's a prediction from some of the great world leaders that study that. They say that there's 12 more earthquakes to come even this year, I believe. And that one great earthquake is coming upon all the world. Jesus said that in that time there would be earthquakes. There would be earthquakes in diverse places and different things would begin to take place. And he said of the hour of the coming of the Son of Man that nobody would know. But he gave us a few helpful hints and thoughts when he said that in that hour that these great earthquakes would begin to take place. And so many things would begin to transpire right at the coming of the Lord. But there is one thing for sure that God told us that we can understand and that we can count on. We may not know the day nor the hour of the coming of the Lord, but there's one thing that we do know. He said, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all of the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Now, somebody would say, well, I don't believe, Brother Pike, that we can know when the end's coming. But that's pretty plain, isn't it? That makes us to know when the end is coming, when the gospel has been preached in all the world for a witness. And I believe in the day that we're living in that the gospel has pretty well gone to every part of the world. Even in the dark heathen places of Africa and other places, God has through their own means and measures raised up evangelists and missionaries and sent them into the dark heathen places of those places like India and Africa. So then the end of the world is not far from us. I like the way that Peter expressed it in his time when he looked upon Calvary. And as he saw the things of God come to pass, as he saw the fulfillment of Calvary, he began to realize that something had happened concerning the prophetical utterance of the prophets. And that something had taken place far greater than the people of his day had been able to comprehend. And the only way that Peter could express it was he said that ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. I believe that if in that day they were the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, then we must be the people that's living right in the very sunset of time. I see a whole lot more in it, perhaps, than I could express tonight. But when Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come,
He did not exaggerate. He did not make a mistake, but he knew exactly what he was saying. It is evident when you get into the revelation of Christ and leave the natural perspective of it. It is evident that at Calvary, it was the end of all things. The Bible said that God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. And God sent him forth in the fullness of time. And it's evident that when Jesus came at Calvary, that was the fullness of time. And there at Calvary, it was also evident that when Jesus was crucified, that everything that God had ever purposed toward humanity was finished. When Jesus hung there upon Calvary, he said, "Father, it is finished. It is finished." Not only was the plan of God finished, but all of God's judgments had been brought to pass. Everything that God had ever purposed toward mankind was at last brought to pass. Now, I know that we have to comprehend what God has done, what God has promised, and what God has given a perpetuation before those things can be profitable to us. I know that we've got to comprehend what God did at Calvary before the judgments of God can be upon us. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That means that we've got to come into a knowledge of God before God will ever charge sin to us. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But it is evident, though we haven't comprehended this, we haven't enjoyed the fullness of sonship, the people haven't come into the fullness of the judgments of God, yet it is evident that all of this was finished at Calvary, and God waits patiently for the fruit of the earth, telling us that when we come to the knowledge of what he did in Christ, and when we comprehend it, both sinner and saint alike, then what he did in Christ will transpire in our lives. That's why I made the statement this morning that the trumpet so often gives an uncertain sound. So many times I can point out to you where the trumpet has given an uncertain sound down through the years through different men's ministry, and it's caused the people not to be able to prepare themselves to the battle. But in the day that we're living in, Brother Paul tells us that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a certain sound. We know who we are. We know where we've come from. And we know where we're heading. We know what God has appropriated in his rights there at Calvary in our behalf. And we can understand that. We can have the privilege of enjoying it. But the only way that we can do it is to come into the mind of Christ. The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, he did not think it was robbery to be equal with God." That statement alone is so powerful that we could preach on it all night. Why should we think it robbery to be equal with the eternal God? Why should we think it robbery to lift up a membership of the body and praise the membership as God? Why? It shows that we are without understanding. It shows that we've never come into the place that we need to come into. It shows that we don't know how to worship God. Like Jesus said to the woman of the well, said, "The woman, that you don't know how to worship God." Said salvation is of the Jews. It proves that we haven't come to the understanding of God. You follow me? God wants us to esteem one another, to lift up one another, in that we do it to the least of the membership of the body. We do it to God. God is within his temple. We praise God. "I will make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you," Jesus said. "All of the world shall turn unto you. All of the world shall come unto you. There shall be a government of sonship. There shall be kings that shall sit upon the throne. Not only the King of Kings, which is Jesus, but there shall also be other kings that shall sit upon the throne. There shall be a great move of sonship. And the Bible said God has made us kings and priests unto our God. There shall be kings, and those kings, as I've said before, will bring the honor and the glory into the great celestial city of New Jerusalem and throw their crowns as does the kings of the elders down at his feet, giving unto him praise and glory. There must of necessity be great leaders and great rulers and great kings that he might be the Lord of lords. There will be lords out there. In the millennium, there's going to be lords. There's going to be kings. That he might be Lord of lords. And he might be King of kings. There's going to be sons out there. That he might be the first son, having the preeminence through the shed blood of Calvary. So then it shows that we've not come into sonship. It shows that we've not recognized the plan of God. There, we've not seen what God is trying to do. And we find ourselves straining in an ant, swallowing a camel. I'm thankful tonight because my eyes have been opened. I'm thankful tonight that when I look for Christ, I can see Christ in my fellow man. That I can recognize the fact that there stood a great temple of the living God. And that God is in his temple. And all of the world is to keep silent because it is not him that's speaking, but God speaking from within his temple. Somebody said, I'm afraid that I'll lift Brother Taylor up too much. I'm afraid that I won't lift Brother Taylor up enough. Somebody said, I'm afraid to lift Brother Gonzalez up too high. I'm afraid not to lift him up high. The Bible said, esteem him worthy of honor. And if he's a laboring God, esteem him worthy of double honor. And then the Bible said, esteem him very highly for his work's sake. Hallelujah. In that you do it unto him, you do it unto God. What a great hour of advantage. What a great hour of enlightenment. What a great time. You people that resent one another. You people that resent leadership. You've done that unto God. It's on your record in heaven. That you've resented the person of God and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You've resented him in leadership. You've resented him in the ministry. You've resented him in the brotherhood. And you found fault with him. And it's against you and on your record in the day of judgment that though you did it to the least of these, you did it unto God. Therefore we should greet our brethren with a holy kiss. That is that my spirit should surrender you to your spirit. And submit ourselves one to another, that the voice of God from within his temple can tell us of his ways and teach us. The Bible said in that day that the great, wonderful house of God would be established. All nations would flow unto it. And Germany would say to Japan, and Japan would say to Russia, and Russia would say to America, let us go up to the house of our God and let him teach us of his ways. Let us remember that we've forgotten God. And let us remember that we've forsaken God. And let us repent and let us go up to the house of God and worship the Lord. Going to be more to it than that. You say, what would that be? The Bible said in that day that if they don't come up, there'll be no rain on their crops. If they don't come up, they won't have a harvest. Everything will dry up. Everything will begin to languish. There will be no water upon the crops. There will be no outpouring of the Spirit. There will be nothing in the way of refreshing. And they will have to go up to Jerusalem. They will have to go up to the house of God. They will have to turn to God, to Christ, to the rulership, to the sonship, to the powers, to the authorities. They will have to come up as it was in the days of Joseph. Though he was a rejected stone and the brethren had rejected him, yet God magnified an individual. God magnified a man. God took a man and set him on the throne. Why? That he might show himself through the man. David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, and I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. Why does God do that? Why does God pick out one individual? Why does he do that? Somebody said, but God doesn't do it. But God does do it. We When Peter said God made a difference between us choosing me to open the door to the Gentiles and to the Jews, giving me the keys to the kingdom. When the Bible said, because thou hast loved righteousness, I have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God said I did it. God said you love righteousness. And because of this, I anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. God lifts up one and puts down another. Why did God lift up Joseph? Because he loved the wages of righteousness. He loved the ways of God. Why did God lift up David? Because he prayed 7 times a day. He loved the ways of God. Why did God lift up Elijah? Because he loved God. When God finds a man that loves him, a man that's concerned about him, he places his anointing upon him that he might lift him up. Why? In doing it, it lifts God up. That's the only way God can lift himself up in the earth. In a power and in a leadership, in the admiration. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you do that and you'll be following a man. That's not following a man, that's following God. That's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's not bone of a man's bones and flesh of a man's flesh. The Bible said you're not to know him after the flesh. When you know him after the flesh, that proves that you're not right with God. When you look at him after the flesh, that means that you can't get past the carpenter's son. But you're to know him after the Spirit. We're to know him as the body of Jesus Christ, to esteem him very high, to give him honor and reverence and praise, and submitting yourself unto them as they that watch for your soul, that must give an account to God. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't like that, Brother Pike. Why don't you like it? I can tell you why you don't like it, because he didn't lift you up. But I'll tell you what, when you talk about being a son of God, when you talk about being a son of God, and you look at those brute beasts out in the world, and you see the other people out in the world, and you talk about you being a son of God and them being brute beasts, you like that pretty good, don't you? You know why? Because that lifts you up. You understand what I'm saying? Like I've said so many times, I've never heard anybody criticize anybody for lifting them up. Never. I've heard them criticize them for lifting other folks up, but never, I've never met a man that ever criticized anybody for lifting him up. Hallelujah. Then let's do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Is that all right? Is that the golden rule? Hallelujah. So then I thank God tonight for men who love the ministry, that loves the revelation, that loves the ways of God, that wants to exalt the messenger of God and lift him up. I thank God we've got enough of them that wants to put their foot on him, throw him down and cast him down. Somebody said, I'm thankful for the message. The other night when the man of God came in and preached for us, I said, I'm thankful for the message. But folks, I said, I'm thankful for the messenger too. For as Brother Al said, without the messenger, there'd be no message. The Bible said, either receives the prophet, receives the prophet's reward. Without that prophet, there wouldn't be any reward. The Bible said, he that heareth my prophets and does what he tells them shall prosper. If there was no prophet, you couldn't hear. If there was no human being in the earth tonight, there'd be no God in our world. You understand what I'm saying? How do I know God tonight and know him through a human being? How can I see God tonight? I see him through my brother. How can I serve God? Paul said they glorified God in me. How can God dwell in the earth? Because I'm his temple. He's got a dwelling place. He can live in my heart. That's why he said love one another. Not resent one another, not find fault with one another. When you do that, that's a devil that's got a hold to you. That's an evil spirit that's got a hold to you. And they spend all their time trying to tell you not to follow a man. Them people are anointed to the devil to tear down what God's doing. Paul said, I'm a man, follow me as I follow Christ. What is it? I've said this so many times. I like the way that God did it in the days of Moses, when Miriam began to grumble and mumble, and when Aaron began to grumble, and they kept saying, who does Moses think he is? Does he think he's the only prophet? And God came out there and said, Moses and Miriam, I want you to come over here. I want to talk with you. And finally, now remember, Aaron was a great man. God gave him a great place. So was Miriam. He called him over and asked him, I want to talk with you. Miriam, let me ask you something. Aaron, let me ask you something. Wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? Somebody said, now God ain't in all of that when you lift a man up. God said, wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? In other words, Miriam and Aaron, it wasn't the people that magnified Moses. I magnified Moses. Said, wasn't you afraid to speak against him? Said, he's faithful in all of his house. Aaron, are you faithful in all of your house? Miriam, are you faithful in all of your house? My man Moses said, there's not another man like him in all the world. Come on, folks. I lifted him up. David, I took you from among the sheepcote. I set you up there on the throne. I took Saul down because I didn't like the way he was doing. I lift up one. I put down another. I hold the king's heart in my hand. I do what I want to. I create the good and evil. Can evil come to a city and I not brought it, saith the Lord. I'm the one that said do this. I'm the one that says do that. And I like it when the angel came over there. Said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Oh, I like it when the angel said to Daniel, oh, thou beloved man of God. If angels can look at men and say, oh, thou beloved man of God, then I can look at Brother Taylor and say, oh, thou beloved man of God. Instead of going to Brother Lyman and say, don't be saying too much about Brother Taylor now. You'll give God's glory to somebody else. I want you to know something tonight. He said, my glory I will not give to another. But I want to remind you again, I'm not another. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He didn't give it to the Baptist. He didn't give it to the Methodist. He didn't give it to the Presbyterian. He didn't give it to those in the past. But he gave his glory to the body. Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the glory I had with thee before the world ever was. And make these one as we're one. He gives us his glory tonight. He gives us his glory tonight. He glorifies us with his own glory. Hallelujah. Father, glorify these with the glory that you glorified me with before the world ever was. Is that right? My glory is the same for them. So then God has a platform. When Jesus again said over there, when he spoke about John, they said, John, a great man, a great man. Why, that's not good enough. Why, you fellas don't know how to talk about a prophet. You come over here talking about John being a great man. Jesus said, let me tell you something. He said, he's greater than just a great man. He said, there's none among women that's greater than John. You mean God talks about men? Ain't he afraid that he'll take his glory and give it to John? Ain't he afraid the people might get, you know, overboard and love John a little too much? He said there's not anybody born among women like John. Amen. You don't get him any greater. Is that right? Jesus said he is more than a prophet. Said this is my messenger of whom I wrote, I spoke. Behold, I send my messenger, not my message, but my messenger before thy face, and he shall prepare my way. Not the message prepare my way. I send my messenger. I thank God tonight. I'm thankful, oh God. Are you thankful? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you sound to me like you're trying to lift up yourself. I'm trying to lift up the messenger. I said, I'm trying to lift up the messenger. I don't know who he might be. Bobby might be the messenger. Anybody could be the messenger. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Brother Smith brought us a message tonight. Stood up here in the testimony of Christ and brought us a message. Brother, what God wants is a unity. He wants us to come together, brethren. Come together and be an army for God. Stand up for one another. Hallelujah. Esteeming each other very highly. Amen. Jesus said there's going to be a sad day. Said that tribulation period's coming, and said, brethren, he told them as he sat down on the Mount of Olivet, he said, and they shall betray one another to death. They shall be offended. They shall hate one another. He said, and they shall betray one another. But he said, don't you do that. He said, you love one another. And he said, I'll tell you something else. He said, esteem others better than yourself. Esteem others better than yourself. And love one another. And be a servant to one another. Be willing to wash the other man's feet instead of thinking that he's your servant. You be willing to humble your heart and submit yourself unto him as unto the body of the Lord, not knowing him as the flesh, but knowing him as the body of Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself unto him, doing all things as unto the Lord. And he said, when you receive him, oh, Brother Paul said, you receive me as the Lord himself. You know, plucked out your eyes for me. Love one another. God's got a great thing. God is love. God is trying to do something. He's trying to bring us into a brotherhood. Bring us into a unity. Bring us into a strength that we've never known before. That we might love one another. What is he going to do? All of them people that goes around resenting, he said, them are offensive in my kingdom. And I will pluck out everything that offends. I'll take out everything. And he said, every plant my heavenly Father has not planted, I will root it up, Jesus said. Old Brother Solomon said, there's a time to plant. But he said, there's a time to pluck up. There's a time to pluck up. How do you know that's Bible? There's a time to pluck up. God is trying to bring forth a man-child. He's trying to bring forth an understanding. Death has been overcome. We are victors, more than conquerors. We are here in the presence of God, waiting for a great move of God to take hold of us and to become activated with the love of God and the power of the resurrection. We're waiting for a stirring and a moving. Now, somebody said, Brother Pike, are you just waiting on God? You don't just wait on God by sitting down eating turkey. I'm talking about praying and waiting on God. Fasting and waiting on God. Studying the Bible and waiting for God. Seeking and searching and trying to find out what God's doing. I had to apologize this evening to our brother here. When he came up, I was on my knees seeking God. And my wife wouldn't come and disturb me. She was afraid to come in there and bother me. And the time went on, the time went on, the time went on. Until she got ashamed and she finally peeped in the door and whispered and said, George, if somebody wants to see us. And the couple's been out here for a long time. I didn't know about it. But I was waiting on God. I wanted to know what God had to say. What God was doing. Sad time. It's a sorrowful time. The Bible said it's a day of darkness. I want to hear from him. I want him to speak to me. I want to hear his voice. You might come to church for 30 minutes and get tired, but I spend all day long with him. I don't get tired. I want to hear the voice of that Holy One. God said, Paul, God has chosen you, Paul, to see and to hear the voice of that Holy One, to see him. And to hear his voice. I want to see him. I want to hear his voice. I want to see him as he is. And know him in the power of his resurrection. And to know that, then I've got to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. There's something to be had. Something to be had. Now, I don't feel any stimulus tonight from you. I don't feel any stirring tonight to revelation. I don't feel any hunger. I don't feel any thirst. I felt some this morning and brought forth some revelation. But I don't feel any hunger. I don't feel any stirring. And I'm just exhorting you tonight. But there's one thing about it. There's honey in the rock, my brother. Just because you can't get it, that don't mean there's not honey in the rock. There's plenty of honey in the rock. But you got to be able to get it out of the rock. The Bible said that rock that followed them was Christ Jesus. I tried to express this morning how that smiting that rock was the law smiting Jesus at Calvary because Moses represented the law. And he couldn't go into Canaan because of it. But let me tell you something, folks. Moses had something. When Moses came down off of that mountain, Moses had something. He came down, and I made a statement the other night. When the angel of God came, when Satan reached down to get Moses' body, and the angel of God stood there and said, "The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee." They wasn't having a fuss over Moses' spirit. Moses' spirit was already with God. They wasn't disputing over Moses' spirit. They were having a dispute over Moses' body. Death had come to claim Moses' body. And the angel of God just as if to say, "Wait a minute, Satan. You can't touch that body. Why? Why can't I have that body?" He could have said, "I'm death. Nobody tells me what to do. I come to claim that body. Moses has finished his ministry. I come to get that body." But the angel of God said, "Satan, the Lord rebuke thee." I got a more sure word of prophecy, Satan. The Lord said you couldn't have it and you ain't gonna get it. Amen. That angel was bold, and that was an angel to an angel. But that angel was bold and brave because he had God's word behind him. He was God's messenger. That's why. He stood there and said, "The Lord rebuked thee." Said, "You ain't going nowhere with Moses' body." Moses had done been up on that mountain so long, he's done translated into spirit. He's done bypassed death. He's done got over living on beans and bread. He's been up there 80 days without food. He's been up there 80 days without a drink of water. Now, that's why they can't find Moses' body till today. They looked for the grave, but until this day they can't find it. You know why they can't find it? Because his body ain't out there. That writer caught a vision. It's not recorded in the book, but he caught a vision. He saw a vision. He saw the dispute over the body. Everybody was trying to figure out where the body went to. He just went to God in prayer, and God gave him a vision. Now, where's that body? It's not out there in the grave. That's why. Death couldn't hold it. Being the prophet like unto Jesus, there wasn't no way. So then when he pointed over here to Calvary, what took place? The body was found in the Mount of Transfiguration. It translated like Elijah had. Going up there where Jesus was. Going up there where Elijah was. He couldn't stay down there. Wasn't no way. He had done crossed over. God took him into the real Canaan land. God wasn't going to let him go down there and eat a bunch of sour grapes. Someplace called Canaan over there. God had something greater for him. He done went into the real Canaan land of God. He had done crossed over into the real land of milk and honey. He had done got to be a real fellow with God. He had to go up there and be one of them olive trees. He didn't have time to go down there and eat at grapes. A great, mighty giant in the presence of God. One of the great olive trees. One of the great candlesticks that stood before the God of the earth, which was the law. And the other one, Elijah, which represented the grace and rapture of the church. Standing before the God of the earth. What was it? Moses discovered something. Why is it the Bible uses this terms? It said that Moses said his eyesight had not waxed dim. And it said the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. Why? He had done learned the secret of eternal life. He had done crossed over. Though he was an old man, his body still had the natural elements of life in it. He had learned the power of preservation. That's why the death could not claim his body. Because his body never come to a dying condition. How could death get him? He still had the youth on the inside. Sin couldn't claim him. He was righteous. So sin couldn't claim him. He still had the natural sources of life in his body. His eyes hadn't waxed dim. Why? He discovered that fountain. He had passed over. Somebody would say, "What do you mean?" I mean the same thing happened to him that happened to Abraham. When old brother Abraham was old, and when Sarah was old, no conception, nor could Abraham bring forth. a seed unto life. Neither could Sarah conceive. But the word of God said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee. And thou shalt have a son, Sarah. Sarah, she laughed about it. Old brother Abraham said, let it be. If God said it, that's the way it's going to be. The angel said, Sarah, why did you laugh? Brother Abraham said, just like God said, that's the way it'll be. That's the way it'll be. And faith in that word. It was faith in that word. The same transformating power that translated Enoch and preserved Enoch's body and took Enoch out of this world. The same transformating power that transformed Elijah and took Elijah out of this world. That same spirit, that same power, that same light, that same Shekinah that Adam walked in and Eve walked in. That same power came down and gave them their youth back. Somebody said, what's that got to do with it? If Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, then what about me? Now somebody said, but Brother Pike, but the Bible said God's no respecter of person. Jesus said, he that heareth my words, he's passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation. Is that right? But he said he's passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation. So then what about me? I have the power to believe. I don't just have to have the power to believe myself into the presence of the Shekinah glory as Adam and Eve did. But brother, I've been born to the Shekinah glory of God. I've got the Shekinah glory of God inside of me. I've got heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Whatever you ask God, believe in your heart, he said it shall come to pass. And that man shall have whatsoever he saith. Life. Life. Where is that life? The Bible said that life is in the Son. As God has life in him, so has he give the Son power to have life in him. Who is the Son? I'm the Son. Where is that life? Christ within me, the hope of glory. I've got power in here. I've got my life in here that God has given to me from Christ. For even so, as God has life, who is God? Jesus Christ. So shall the sons have life also. For Jesus said, no man take my life from me. Why? Because he done come to the Mount of Transfiguration, stood up there and showed that he'd mastered death. They had done perfected the plan of salvation to bring to pass the mystery Paul spoke of. Behold, we shall not all die. Being our example, stood there on the mountain and appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah. Showing us that we did not have to die. Paul said, behold, all of you don't have to die. We've come to the generation that's supposed to be translated. We've come to the generation that's supposed to bypass death. We've come to the generation that's supposed to be eternally preserved. What is it? It's the word. What caused Enoch to be preserved? It was the word. What caused that to happen to Abraham? Said the scriptures appeared unto him. What caused that to happen to Moses? The word appeared to him. God in the beginning was the word. And the word was God. What causes men to be born again? The word appears to him. What does God use to heal a man? He sent his word and healed him. What did God create the world by? He spoke it into existence by his word. What does he cast out the unclean spirits with? His word. What is the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation? His word. Unchanged and unaltered. Faith in his word. He that heareth my words. He that abideth in my words. Let him ask what he will, Jesus said. You understand what I'm saying? What has that got to do with me? Said, I'll make the word flesh. I'll make the word flesh. How are you going to preserve the body? By making it word flesh. Somebody said, I don't see that. Jesus said, I'm the word made flesh. Eat of my flesh. Drink of my blood. And I made the statement this morning. 70 evangelists sweeping the field with miracles and healings, wonderful things. But when you got down to the revelation, when Jesus come down to the mistress, they said, Lord, why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing they understand not what you say? He said, it's not given to them to know the mysteries of God. Why? Because the mysteries of God's what's going to translate the church. It's the revealed mind. It's the revelation. It's Joseph's secret that's given on to the brethren when the Egyptians are cut off. 70 evangelists standing there had done great miracles. But when they came to Jesus and Jesus said, you got to drink my blood and you got to eat my flesh, they all left him. They couldn't get to Revelation. But the foundation of that city stood there, those 12 upon which the stones had to be built. He said, you want to leave me? He said, no, we believe in the revelation. Where else can we go? Who else has got the words of life? Who's got them? We know that you're the Word made flesh. How are you going to preserve me? Heaven and earth pass away. But the Word made flesh shall never pass away. Everything will crumble. But I'll preserve you by the Word. I'll make you bone of the Word and flesh of the Word. Have you understood what I'm saying? How can you do that? By faith in the Word. Father, make these one as we're one. One what? One Word. Have you know that the Father and Jesus was one Word? The Word made flesh. Father, make these one too. Make them what? Make them a revelation, a walking revelation. Make them the Word. Give them the mind of Christ. Translate them, transfigure them, transform them. You see what I'm talking about? Translate them in their spirit into the kingdom of God by faith. Transformate their minds from glory to glory till they finish and come into the mind of Christ. Transfigure them in their image until they're the walking body of the Lord Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So then there is life. Where does that life come from? The Word. What's that got to do with it? Because it is the quickening. It is the quickening. Jesus is the judge of the quickening and of the dead. If you don't know what quickening is, grab a hold of electric wire. It's got a quickening to it. The same power that raised up Jesus from the dead, it shall also quicken your mortal body. Quicken your mortal body how? Quicken it unto eternal life. There is an existing radiation of life that you can't see with your eyes, but it is a light, and that light is coming forth through the means of shadows. Light and shadows moving in, and it's a quickening. When that transformating light, that translating power, that quickening spirit, when that light comes into your body, every fiber of it begins to wake to life. Every fiber of your body begins to wake to life, and the shadows begin to move away, and the shadow of death begins to become non-existence. And it destroys the image of perversion with the brightness of his coming. And that translating light, that radiation of life-giving substance that we call a spirit, that radiation that you can't see and yet it's existence, that great intricate thing that's in the wonderful making, in the mechanism of human beings or human anatomy. That great thing that's called the quickening. I wish we had time to go into it tonight. The quickening, what is a prophet? Nothing but the quickening. Nothing prophet is anything but the quickening. What is Jesus? He's a quickening spirit. What is the quickening? What is the quickening? What is God talking about? There's a lot to be said about it. We can't say it tonight, but there's one thing about it. If you can put your faith in the Word, you got the words of life. He that believeth on me is passed from death unto life. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. I wish the Spirit had been right for me saying. I wish there had been a hunger. I wish there had been a thirst. Because I'd love to have brought out something tonight concerning the quickening, concerning life. We're down at the Jordan, folks. We've done come to a great place. We've done come to a great thing. But are you going to be able to get it? Are you going to be able to get a hold of it? Are you going to be able to come into it? We're down there at the Jordan. Said, take them down there, Gideon, prove them. Take them down there and prove them. Said, you got too many. Couldn't all be saints. You understand what I'm saying? God's fixing to bring about a sifting. Few there be that find this. Few. But this thing that I'm speaking of will eternally preserve your natural body. It will do to you what happened to Moses. Moses discovered it. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Moses discovered it. Abraham discovered it. Elijah discovered it. Enoch discovered it. Paul discovered it, was caught up into the third heaven. He discovered it. You see what I'm talking about? Something's taking place. I sometimes believe that that's why God had to have the apostles killed. That they'd come to such a place that had probably never died if you hadn't had them killed. Somebody said, but you couldn't have this where the pie can be killed. It depends on how you use it. When Jesus was on the mountain, he had it, but the devil said, cast yourself down. If he cast himself down, it killed him. Somebody said, oh, they never killed him, Brother Pike. Then how did they kill him at Calvary? Somebody said, but he never had it. Well, how did he stand with Moses and Elijah on the mountain? Come on, folks. Come on. How did he stand in glory on the mountain and appear in glory on the mountain? How did he do that? How did he pass into heaven like Paul in the third heaven? And then come back and let him put the nail in his hand. You know how they did it? He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. If I lay it down when I get ready, I'll pick it back up when I get ready. When you come to this, you do whatever you want to. Oh, Brother Jacob, when he got ready to die, he just pulled his feet up in the bed. He said, come over here, I want to tell you something. I'm fixing to leave. Doesn't been around here as long as I intend to stay. Told him what he wanted to know. He said, goodbye. Went home. That's something, ain't it? That's the way it's supposed to be. Have you got power to take up your life? No man hath power over the spirit of death to retain it. Have you got power? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you said no man had it. That's true. But I didn't say no son of God didn't have it. I said no man. No man has it. You understand what I'm saying? No man hath power. But the Son has power. He has power to give life. He has power to lay down his life. He has power to take up his life. Somebody said, if that's true, why is it some of them sons of God just done went down here on the grave? Why come they ain't done took it back up? When they get up there, they don't want to come back down here. There ain't nothing they want back down here. The only way they'd ever come back down here is for God to send them back down here. Oh, he said, nobody's ever done that. John, when he was talking over there in the Revelation, the Bible said he started to worship a fellow over there, and the man said, wait a minute, don't do that. He said, why not? He said, I'm an angel. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm one of the saints. I'm of your brethren, the prophets. They come back down here when they get ready. They get ready whenever God tells them. You love the Lord? I want you to stand with him. A lot we could say tonight, but I hope these few words of exhortation has done something for you to make you consider, make you study, make you search, and make you look diligently for something that God's got. There's a pearl of great price that's hid. If you can find the field and find the pearl, then you'll be willing to sell all you got to get it. They sold it for 30 pieces of silver. But you can't put a price on this. It's priceless. Now, I hope that we've said something here that might benefit you. It's hard to preach when you come in and don't find any hunger, don't find any thirst, like tonight. Nobody seemed to be hungry, nobody seemed to be thirsty. Everybody seemed to be contented and satisfied. God gave us a good meal this morning. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It is a late hour, much later than you think. And Jesus commanded you to hunger and thirst. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if I hunger and thirst, how do I know I'm going to get anything? He gave you his word that you'd be filled. But he didn't say you'd be filled unless you did hunger and thirst. I didn't feel no hunger and thirst in the night. I just pushed on and tried to exhort you anyway. Tried to tell you something anyway. But I tell you something, there's a time of hunger and thirsting. The reason the prodigal wasn't hungry, you know why? He went out there where the hogs was eating the husk. And the Bible said would fain have filled his belly. A lot of you have filled your belly with the husk. You don't have any appetite because you went out there and filled up on the world. Let's sing a little chorus together.
Give me another key, sister.
A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing. It cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, my stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, my stream is flowing from Calvary. Sing it again. I feel the Holy Ghost. A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, that stream is flowing from Calvary. Oh, the blood of my Jesus. Oh, the blood of my Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful for the blood of my Jesus. Oh, it washes me whiter than the snow. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus, for it washes me whiter than the snow. Let's gather around the altar a minute, can we? Let us sing about the blood of my Jesus. Let us sing about the blood of my Jesus. Oh, let's sing about the blood of my Jesus. Oh, it washes me whiter than snow. Wouldn't you like to live forever? Wouldn't you like to live forever? I'm going to live forever. Wouldn't you like to live forever too? I'm going to live forever. Ever and ever and ever. Wouldn't you like to live forever? You can live forever too. For God has given to the Son to have power in His life.
To have life. To have life. That's why he said, ye are gods. That's why I'm not afraid to call ye gods tonight. Somebody said, I'm so afraid you'll blaspheme. I said, I'm not afraid to call ye gods tonight. For Jesus said, ye are gods. Gods can't die, Brother James. That's why he called us gods, because gods can't die. What does the word God mean? The object of worship. You want to look it up? I said, what does God mean? The word God means object of worship. That's why Paul said they glorified God within me. That's why the Bible said, I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. God's in his temple. You love him tonight? Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Yes, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, it washes me whiter than snow. Are you beginning to feel godly? The Bible said, add to your experience godliness. Are you beginning to feel like a god? Are you beginning to feel like a god? Jesus said, you're God. So add to your experience godliness. You want to act like God? Said, add godliness to your experience. You want to act like God, be like God, think like God, and not think it robbery to be equal with God. For it washes me whiter than snow. Can you lift that up just a little bit? I like singing. You know something tonight, folks? If Jesus said ye are gods, everybody thinks he lied about that. Let me see your hand. Everybody thinks that it's impossible for God to lie. Let me see your hand. He said ye are gods. Everybody that's believers in that, let me see your hand. Now then, if the Bible said that it's not robbery for you to think that you are equal with God. Is that what he's saying? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God. He didn't think it was robbery to make himself equal with God. Isn't that right? Somebody said, but we can't do that. But the Bible said, follow in his steps. Is that right? Jesus said, what I've done you'll do also. Is that right? So then, I don't see anything wrong then, brothers. If you think you're equal with God, I don't see anything wrong with me thinking you're equal with God. Is that all right? Somebody said, I think you'll overdo it, Brother Pike. I think you'll raise him up too high. But I said, if you think you're equal with God, then I don't see anything wrong with me thinking you're equal with God. You know what makes us equal with God? Because we're sons of God. You know what makes my son equal with me? He's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Somebody said, but the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. But Jesus said, he that's born of the Spirit is spirit. How many of you feel spiritual? Pass from death unto life. How do you know that? Because I love my brethren. Got a proof of it. I love my brethren. How do you know where God lives? God lives in heaven. How do you know that? Don't that make you feel better? I said, God lives in heaven. Then where do sons of God live? Jesus said, Nicodemus, I come down from heaven. He said, but I'm still in heaven. I'm still in heaven, he said. Old Brother Nicodemus probably got confused and probably thought, now don't go preaching that doctrine. You get folks confused. But Jesus said, that's all right. I'm still in heaven, Nicodemus. I know you're looking at me, but I'm still in heaven. Said to old Brother Pike, said, Brother Pike, said, I've chosen you out of this world. Said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of it. Now, what do you do with me, Lord? I put you up there with Jesus. Said, you're hid with Christ in God. Where's that? Said, the heavens have received you. Where am I tonight? I'm in them heavenly places. So then tonight, God has made us equal to himself. I made the statement, dogs begat dogs and cats begat cats. Cows begat calves, but God begot gods. I've begotten you, Paul said. We're of God, born of God. Born of God. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Can we sing that again about the blood? I'll have to praise the blood because that's where it all happened. The life is in the blood. If you got the blood tonight, without the blood, you don't have any life. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, it washes me whiter than snow. You know, I tell this sometimes, and I want to tell it tonight to get across a point. You know it so well about the two men sitting and talking. One believed in evolution, one believed in God. I want to say this to say something else. And you know how the story goes? When the man that was born of God couldn't convince the man that was born of a beast that there was sons of God, when he insists, he said, we didn't come from beasts. I don't believe in evolution. And the man said, I believe we did come from beast. And he insists that it came through a chain of monkeys. And they say the man really told him, said, well, I don't see any reason for a son of God to talk to a son of a monkey. And he got up and left. Now, I said that to say this. While other people are teaching their congregations to hush up, hush up, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. And keep them bound down here in this old fleshly grave clothes. Telling them you can't esteem one another. Can't lift one another up. Can't believe you're nothing but just an old sinner. Saved by grace, somebody said. Teaching them, you know, not to believe anything, but we're just trying to hold on. And if we hold on, maybe someday, maybe, not sure, but maybe. I'm teaching my congregation, ain't no maybe about it. We pass from death unto life. We are gods and we're in heaven. And we are sons and daughters of God. And we own this world and we're going to rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Now they can teach their congregation what they want to, but that's what I'm teaching. Because that's what I believe. Oh, there's healing in this blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's healing in this blood of my Jesus. Oh, there's healing in this blood of my Jesus. Oh, it washes me whiter than snow. A lot of preachers will say, brothers, if you believe, someday you'll be in the resurrection. If you believe, someday. If you believe, someday. I know my brother shall live again someday, Martha and Mary said. I know that someday in the resurrection, the preacher said. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Blessed and whole is he that hath part in this first resurrection. You pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. We have been resurrected. We have been caught away to him. And as soon as that child was born again, he was caught up to the throne. Hallelujah. We are the saints of God. We have been raptured out of this world. We have been changed from death unto life. Hallelujah. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are born of the Spirit. We're spirit. Oh, there's translation in the blood of my Jesus. Oh, translation.